Greetings, this is the Reading Instruction Show. As always, I am your host, Dr. Andy Johnson. The title of today's podcast is called Orton Gillingham, Behind the Pretty Words. So let's see if we can learn something today. Unpacking Orton Gillingham. Orton Gillingham is an approach to teaching reading that is, quote, multisensory, sequential, incremental, cumulative, individualized, phonics-based, and explicit, so said Ripple 2020. A recent article in the Reading League Journal said that, quote, many of the defining features of OG approach are supported by extensive scientific research, including direct and explicit instruction with scaffolding, structured and sequential instruction, and diagnostic and prescriptive instruction. Ostrain et al. 2024. Also, the Orton Gillingham website described the approach as, quote, direct, explicit, multisensory, structured, sequential, diagnostic, and prescriptive. Now, if the number of superlative adjectives used to describe a thing determine its effectiveness, then by all means, Orton Gillingham would be very effective. But what exactly do all these pretty, pretty words mean? Let's do a little unpackerating here. Direct instruction. Yes, direct and explicit instruction is supported by extensive scientific research. Absolutely. Everybody in the world knows that. They would agree that direct instruction is an important part of reading instruction. Whole language teachers use direct instruction. Balanced literacy teachers use direct instruction. And I'm sure if penguins could be trained to teach reading, they too would use direct instruction. Direct instruction is a pedagogical strategy consisting of A, explicit input, B, modeling or demonstration, C, guided practice with a gradual release of responsibility called scaffolding, and D, independent practice. Direct instruction is an effective teaching strategy for the initial learning of any kind, absolutely. But it's a strategy that every teacher should have in their teaching toolbox. It's basic teaching 101. It has never been a question of if direct instruction should be used in early reading instruction. It's always been a question of how or how much direct instruction should be used. For the science of reading people, it's always been much. For balanced literacy practitioners, it's always been as much as needed. Scaffolding. Educational scaffolding is any kind of support used with initial learning. This initial support is followed by a gradual release of teacher responsibility as students become more adept with what's being learned. Scaffolding is a part of guided practice used in direct instruction. However, it's also used to provide support with any type of learning. Everybody believes that scaffolding is an important thing. This is not something new or unique. This is not something that needs extensive scientific research to determine its effectiveness. Again, basic teaching 101. What about structured and sequential instruction? Well, according to the International Dyslexia Association, structured instruction for reading includes these six elements: phonology, sound symbol association, syllable instruction, morphology, syntax, and semantics. Again, you'd get little argument from anyone in the field of literacy that these elements should not be part of initial reading instruction. But what's interesting here is that each of the three cueing systems are used here. Does the International Dyslexia Association support the three cueing systems? Perhaps there's hope for this organization. And why am I dragging the International Dyslexia Association into the mix here? It's because of their strong link to Orton-Gillingham. This organization was originally called the Orton Society. In 1982, it changed its name to the Orton Dyslexia Society, and in 1997, it changed its name to the International Dyslexia Association, IDA. But more importantly, in 2014, they were the ones who came up with the term structured literacy, from which structured instruction is derived. And the quiet part was said out loud when they stated the purpose of the term was to, quote, unify and sell what we do, unquote. It's all about marketing, you see. Now, according to the IDA, structured instruction is, quote, systematic and cumulative. Now, let's pause a minute to look at the accumulation of all the important sounding words used so far. Structured, systematic, scientific, diagnostic, prescriptive, direct, explicit, extensive, sequential, cumulative, logical order. How could anybody be against these things? But what exactly do they mean? Now, if you want to have a good time, ask your science of reading friends or your IDA and Orton-Gillingham friends to define these 11 terms and then record their responses. You'll notice quite a bit of variation in the responses as well as a lot of squirming. The IDA says, quote, systematic means that the organization of material follows the logical order of the language. More words thrown about. What is the logical order of language? Is there an illogical order? According to the IDA, the logical order, quote, must begin with the easiest and most basic concepts, and progress methodically to more difficult concepts and elements, unquote. To which I say, brilliant! But again, this is basic teaching 101. Good teachers always start with easy or simple things and progress to more difficult or complex things as students are ready. However, what's easiest and most basic in reading is based on one's experience with language. Reading things that make sense and using words and concepts from children's experience is much easier than decoding lists of words and nonsense words in isolation. And reading decodable books with artificial sentences like Nan and Pap sat on a pan. Cumulative means that each new thing builds on the last thing. And again, basic teaching 101. Good teachers always make connections to or build upon previous learning. This is basic constructivist learning theory. This also reflects Bruner's learning theory that calls for skills and concepts to be taught in their simplest form first, to become a platform for more complex skills and concepts later on. But what about sequential instruction? What's the sequence? And who decided that the sequence was to be a sequence? Hence, you get things like a scope and sequence chart. Now, these can be useful in providing a general sense of the kinds of things you might teach early on, as well as the types of letter patterns you might ask students to notice. However, scope and sequence charts are not reliable enough to be used in a prescriptive fashion. They should never become the roadmap to instruction. However, the giant I-thinkism behind structured instruction is that if children just put all the teeny tiny parts of a scope and sequence chart together in a logical order, they'll be able to read, and that's just plain kooky talk. All right, diagnostic and prescriptive instruction. An effective diagnosis of any kind first determines if there is a problem, and then identifies the cause of the problem. According to the IDA, International Dyslexia Association, diagnostic and prescriptive instruction uses, quote, careful and continuous assessment that is both formal and informal, unquote. Everybody agrees that careful and continuous assessment is important. Nobody wants careless and discontinuous assessment. However, a proper diagnosis of reading occurs apart from instruction and focuses on three deficit areas: word recognition, fluency, and comprehension. And I have yet to find a more effective diagnostic instrument than a diagnostic reading assessment, sometimes called an informal reading inventory. But diagnostic instruction uses assessments within the context of instruction. The proper term for this is progress monitoring. Effective reading instruction of any kind has always included pragmatic measures to use for progress monitoring. Prescriptive instruction is an instructional plan based on the diagnosis. Now, struggling readers are not all the same. Each has different strength and deficit areas. Since each deficit area is addressed differently, the instruction prescribed for each student should be different. This points to the importance of a valid diagnostic measure specifically addressing the three deficit areas: word recognition, fluency, and/or comprehension. Now, this is much different from the one-size-fits-all instruction used in Orton-Gillingham and other reading products. Here, the same reading subskills are prescribed in the same order, in the same way. High ability readers go a little faster and are a little ahead. Struggling readers go a little slower and are a little behind. But the same prescription is used with everybody. This instruction could hardly be said to be prescriptive. And multisensory. Multisensory instruction is said to be the magic ingredient in Orton-Gillingham. Multisensory. This simply means visual, auditory, and kinesthetic modalities are used when teaching. In other words, as children are learning, they see things, they hear things, and they do things. This is nothing new or magical. It's not unique to Orton-Gillingham. It's called multimodal instruction, and elementary teachers have been using various forms of it for decades. So, the research. What about the research that, quote, proves, unquote, the effectiveness of Orton-Gillingham? Well, despite the claims of being heavily research-based, it's simply not. The research used to support the use of Orton-Gillingham often measures students' progress using pseudo-reading or non-reading tasks. It uses measures of questionable validity. It does not use comparison groups. It's derived from unpublished master's or doctoral thesis. Is a study put out by organizations that have a vested interest in certain outcomes, or makes claims of superiority without controlling for covariates such as gender, socioeconomic status, ethnicity, verbal IQ, or initial reading skills. The problem with Orton-Gillingham and similar for-profit products, Lindmood, Wilson Language Training, Barton Systems, etc., is that they try to reduce teaching to an algorithm. An algorithm is a formula for solving problems in which you follow a step-by-step set of procedures with fidelity to achieve a specific outcome. In other words, by correctly following a prescribed set of steps in a specific order, you will be led to a predetermined solution. Now, algorithms are useful in mathematics and computer science for calculation, data processing, and automatic reasoning. But for teaching, not so much. However, Orton-Gillingham would have you believe that if the teaching algorithm is followed explicitly, the teacher can be assured that students will learn to read. And if the algorithm doesn't work, you run through the algorithm again and again and again. What these algorithmic programs offer is a false sense of certainty. Despite all the important sounding words thrown about the long-term effectiveness of these direct, explicit, multi-sensory, structured, sequential, diagnostic, and prescriptive instructional products, their effectiveness is simply not evident. This has been the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your host, Dr. Andy Johnson.